Hello, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
He said it. He said. He said it. He said. He said it. He said. He said it. He said.
Día Luna, día Pena. Vamos, papapá, vamos lá, sei.
So easy, it's getting hot this year.
So easy,
it's getting hot.
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. I'm Jake. That just there was the Donnas doing Take It Off, off of one of their earlier albums before they were doing jingles for Target. For that, a very odd track, which I will be playing more from this album later. A DJ calls himself DJ Panza Zandas, which is a hard name to say. A few months back, he put out a sort of an online album called Me in This Army, which was a bunch of mashups of Radiohead songs and contemporary hip-hop artists. And I guess some not-so-contemporary, you know, MF Doom, Ghostface Killah, Edan, De La Soul, Jungle Brothers. A lot of really good stuff in there. I found it months ago. I listened to it again last night, and I'd forgotten all about it, and it's some great stuff, so I think we'll be playing a number of tracks from that today. For that, Manu Chao doing Dia Luna, Dia Pena, which I think means Day Moon, Day Suffering. My Spanish is iffy. I think that's what it means. I don't know, but I don't know what that means in the deeper sense. And for that, Young and Restless from Australia, doing a song called Satan. I'm Jake. Sorry I've been gone a few weeks. Was it just 1 week? I've been missing a lot of shows lately, that's all I know. Forces beyond my control, and I have to miss next week's show too. I apologize. Business. I don't have a say in the matter. Well, I do, but, you know, then I, like, lose my job, and, you know, then I have lots of time to do radio, but not so much rent paying. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Well, first of all, I got a lot of good music for you. Let's see who I got. Just this morning, I was doing my weekly search for new music, and, now this mouse isn't working. Such newcomers as Clinic Animal. No, sorry, Clinic. Who else? I guess not new. Mastakilla, Mountaineer. I have the track from the Banksy remix of Parasult. We'll talk about that in a second. Some Sabretooth Tiger, some Scala and Kolakni. I don't know. I got an interesting track, string quartet called Brodsky Quartet. Doing a song with Bjork, covering a Bjork song with Bjork. That one's fun. We even got some Beyonce. I'm usually not much for pop or R&B, but fuck, Beyonce. She's, often she gets some really good producers in there to get some really good background music, and obviously her voice is amazing. So yes, I will even play a little Beyonce. So I guess we got some of the Rapture. As I said, the Radiohead rap mashups. Yeah, it'll be fun. I guess since I mentioned it, I should go ahead and play this song next. I wrote about this on my website. As you probably have heard, Paris Hilton, the useless heiress, millionaire, celebrity, model person, she put out an album, an actual album of songs lately. And you know, when you got a lot of money, you can do it. You can get the engineers to make you sound good. You can get them to write good-sounding songs for you. It's selling very poorly, which I'm glad to say that people worldwide are not falling for this bullshit. At least not so many. But over the weekend, Banksy, who is a graffiti artist and prankster, he's done a number of fun tricks. One of the ones he did lately was... this is... A few years ago, he made this giant statue that was modeled on the British concept. They have a statue for Lady Justice. He made his own, but he dressed it up kind of trampishly and actually cemented it into the town square of a local city, saying, you know, this justice is a whore. It was his concept there. But this is another prank he did. He actually went in and got a Paris Hilton CD, brought it home, remixed the songs and burned those songs to a CD, and then created a new packaging for the new CD that would mock Paris Hilton and all the rich and the poor issues that she is clueless about, because when you're rich, you don't know so much about other folks. But, and the photos, a lot of the pictures of her are of her nude, There's one where it's her getting out of a car in front of Skid Row, which I'm sure is doctored, and it's fun stuff. But apparently, so he made this fake Paris Hilton CD, and then he went to 42 different record stores across the UK and distributed 500 copies, put them on the racks for people to purchase. So that's good stuff. Anyhow, I found a copy of the CD online, but the person who posted it has it all as one big long file. It's a 40 minute long track, and it's with Paris Hilton music, so obviously it's not real scintillating. So I'll play this. I did a little editing. I chopped off like the first 3 minutes of the song, and that's what I'm going to play for you. But yeah, so later on in the program, I guess I should mention, we'll talk about the upcoming Emperor of Japan, the CIA secret prisons, public relations, sock puppetry, Steve Irwin, ABC's propagandistic 9/11 docudrama, and of course the Bush administration's efforts to propagandize about the war on terror. I'm Jake. If you're listening live, you want to send a message, hop on your AOL Instant Messenger, send a message to Radioactive SD. I often usually follow that by saying you could get on your Yahoo Instant Messenger as well, but you can't this time. Somebody has fooled with our password, and I cannot connect. But yeah, so, and also you want more politics and rambling, or past shows, go to my site, lyingmediabastards.com. Anyhow, this is the Banksy remix of Paris Hilton. I believe, I don't know if it actually has a title, but if it does, I'm sure that the title is That's Hot.
Well, a lot of people, since they don't already know me as a recording artist, think that this is just something that I thought up in 1 minute and did. That's hot.
People who can't afford to buy their own washing machine or dry machine clean their clothes. Like, you go and, like, put 25 cents in, like, clean clothes. You never heard of a laundromat? Like, you go there and, like, put a cord. I've seen it in movies, like, in 40 Days and 40 Nights. Remember Josh Hartnett?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's hot.
beautiful view from the top of the mountain. Every morning I walk towards the edge and throw little things off, like carpets, bottles and cutlery, or whatever I find laying around. It's become a habit, a way to start the day.
Trying. He told me. Looking on various street corners, I'm sure you've seen it yourself. Standing on the corner is an alleged brother dressed in blue or green, red, and black, and spouting the news that the revolution is coming and you better get ready, sort of like the end of the world is coming. Unfortunately, the world is just going to drag on and on. And we have a poem that we've written particularly for the brothers on the street corners.
When the revolution come, you can see me on the front line, firing my gun, standing right beside my son. If I go, it's understood that I stood for something. When my whole life, they told me I was good for nothing. I was raised by the stray dogs, blazed off, laid off, breaking laws, graveyard, shifting everyday war. Focus now, notice how things change, soldier, I remain the same. I'm older now, I embrace the pain. I blame the struggle, nearly drove me insane. Thought I lost my head till my brethren told me the same. No tears for the reaper, I bury about 1,000 in graffiti. Rest in peace, sprayed off throughout the houses. I try to stay civilized. The hood's a prison inside. The only difference is the doors don't slide. Still we trapped in the animal cage, cause we got animal ways. So we react with the animal rage. And my section's real, weapons build, cheddar's the deal. Seen the depths of hell, now I stare death in the grill. From the slave ships to today's bricks, same shit. I'm awake to the wickedness and one with the pavement.
The great mind stays divine, my hands remain deadly. We shine without the hung jury, produce light that'll travel through mics. Now as the time ripened, we took words that were nourishing, encouraging a nation to awaken those who are sleeping. Can you conceive the thought? Transatlantic imports, slave and bought. Secret relations between blacks and Jews might set a fuse off in the head. Many dead, lynch hung, swung from trees. Brothers in the struggle together, eat from one pot, hold each other down to the sneaker. Nothing come between us, fast money and chicks. Did it to the best of clicks, it's sickening. It's me and you, son, forever in the struggle. No doubt we hustle, survival is the motto. The youth soon follow, a better tomorrow. Like we make the way for a better tomorrow. It's me and you, son, forever in the struggle. No doubt we hustle, survival is the motto. The youth soon follow, a better tomorrow.
Take care,
stairs for a better tomorrow.
I catch a few flashbacks about going through the struggle, how we used to make dollars from all the snow we shoveled in a broke neighborhood, where the kids often dream about a lavish life that is mostly seen on the screen, with some dreams that quickly cut short due to gang violence from loud guns that kept witnesses in deep silence. Was it bad timing, jealousy from too much shining, or a setup from a girl that he whined, kept dining? It's a known fact they will attack, cause it's like that, and depending on the kind of impact they strike back, in a town where the talk is cheap and beef is brief. A mother sobs uncontrollably and exhibit degree. Large holes in the front door of a housing tenement allows room to retaliate, so conflict is imminent. This hate in the brain destroys the cells like cancer. Even experts are stuck with more questions than answers.
disappoint you. I can't see through your perfect smile. He likes to read books written for girls. He prides himself
folks, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake. That was just Camera Obscura from Ireland, I believe. Ireland or Scotland. I heard them getting interviewed on the radio, and they had a thick brogue answering questions like that. And I couldn't quite gauge. I didn't talk quite long enough, and my brain wasn't working well enough for me to say, that's Scottish, or that's Irish. Song's called Books for Girls. Apparently they're becoming popular. I played that song and I like it a lot, and now suddenly I'm hearing that, you know, the hipsters are already putting them at their best of the year list. So, of course, it was time for me to play them again. For that, K-9us, the world-famous metal band that whose vocalist is a pit bull. Really, I'm not being figurative. It's actually a dog. The dog barks, and then they record the barks, and that's the vocals. The song, cleverly, was called No Dogs, No Masters. For that, we had a new one from Mastakilla, featuring the Gizza and Inspecta Deck doing Street Corners. We'll play another Mastakilla song later on. That one was pretty good. For that, Bad Religion doing Walk Away. I've always liked that one. That's some Bad Religion songs. Most of them are written by the singer, whose name I forget. But some of them are written by the guitarist. Some of the vocals are written by the lyrics, written by the guitarist. Goes by Mr. Brett. His name is Brett Gerwitz. And his ones are always a lot more sort of, I don't know, figurative, philosophical, whatever. That one's not a political song like so many of the Bad Religion tracks. That one is like more of like existential suffering. You know, it's talking about this guy he knows who's just kind of suffering in his life, and he says, you know, there comes a time for a man to up and walk away. And that's what it's about. It's just like this guy just turning his back on everything, figuratively in the song and literally. And I think that's kind of interesting. For that, we had the Brodsky Quartet covering Björk's song Hyper Ballad, with Björk doing vocals. So that was intriguing. And we started off with the Paris Hilton song That's Hot, as remixed or possibly created out of whole cloth by Banksy of the UK. Now, the first news story I think I will mention today is the funniest. There was a fella named Lee Siegel. Lee Siegel was a blogger for the he was a writer for the New Republic magazine, and he had a blog on the New Republic's website called Lee Siegel on Culture. And he will go down in infamy for being the guy who coined the very lame phrase "blogo fascism," where it's one of these many attempts to act as though bloggers are so mean and cruel, and they jump on everyone right away, and you know, they're like fascists but with blogs, and that's just silly. But anyhow, apparently on Lee Siegel's blog, there was one person who would regularly post in the comments who went by the name Sprezzatura. That's an Italian word, but I looked it up. Italian. Don't think I already knew that. Sprezzatura is apparently a word that means something like aristocratic attitude. So Sprezzatura would post frequently in the comments, always defending Lee Siegel. When somebody would criticize Lee Siegel, there was Sprezzatura to give that guy a what for. And then it turns out that Sprezzatura was actually Lee Siegel. How embarrassing. You're such a jackass that you have to pretend to be somebody else to post comments in your blog to attack your enemies and praise yourself. Dotingly, I'll read you some of the stuff that Sprezzatura wrote, and it's embarrassing. Some of us have a little humility. I would be embarrassed to even pretend to be somebody else saying such loving things about me. Let's see. My favorite. I guess at one point they're talking about Jon Stewart of The Daily Show. And Sprezzatura says, "I'm well within Stewart's target group, and I think he's about as funny as a wet towel in a locker room. Lee Siegel is brave, brilliant, and wittier than Stewart will ever be. Take that, you bunch of immature, abusive sheep." And then, this is probably the best one. Apparently, like, various other bloggers would criticize Lee Siegel. They'd write about something that one of his columns or one of his posts and be critical, skeptical, insulting of it. And there would be Sprezzatura to fight back, fighting the man. And here we go. "I ask myself, why is it the young guys who go after..." Okay, that doesn't even make a sentence. "I ask myself, why is it the young guys who go after Lee Siegel? Must be because he writes the way young guys should be writing. Angry, independent, not afraid of offending powerful people. They, on the other hand, write like aging careerists, timid, ingratiating, careful not to offend people who are powerful. They hate him because they want to write like him, but they can't. And then, of course, the most fitting, a critical comment saying, groupthink from a mob of bullies cowering behind their username aliases. Could you imagine describing yourself as brilliant and fiery and take, you know, I'm not afraid to speak out to the powerful man. But he did it under a fake name, and, but he got caught. He, after writing so much and insulting and criticizing and smearing so many people, one of the regular comments on Siegel's blog did a little bit of research and said, you know, this person only posts on your blog. This person does not use this pen name anywhere else. They only write in favor of you. They only write to attack your enemies. You know what? I think it's you. And then the editor of the magazine went in and did a little research of their own, probably involving saying, hey, Lee Siegel, are you writing under a fake name? And he owned up to it. And he no longer... His blog has been suspended, as well as his writing duties for the New Republic. Which is funny. I find that funny. But no, the Lee Siegel thing, I've said a number of times, and I guess I meant it in a slightly different way. I've said that public relations, which is our or my archenemy, among other things, part of it is what I call ventriloquism, which is the attempt to make somebody else speak your words. It's, you know, like if you put out a press release and then a newspaper uses your quotes in their news article, well, now you've gotten across your opinion, but nobody knows that it came from you, a paid PR operative, so it seems more legitimate. So Siegel did here is similar, in that he was speaking his words but trying to make somebody think it was coming from a different mouth, or, you know, obviously typing fingers, not really mouth. I didn't need to correct myself. I mean, that got me thinking, though, when about the Lee Siegel thing. Got me thinking more about public relations. It also reminded me of a few weeks ago I was mentioning the American Apparel expose that was written by folks at Clamor Magazine. And after that article, before it was even published, when they put out their first press release, suddenly the, quote, media team, which means PR department, for American Apparel was all over the place. They were commenting on all the blogs, writing to all the authors, posts, and blah, et cetera, et cetera. But, so they actually, and this person, Veronica, or at least she spells it that way, she posted a lot of stuff to my blog in the comments when I wrote about it, and also on the Clamor blog. Oh, you've got the story all wrong, and, you know, we've sent these letters of correction, and we're going to send you a list of all these errors, and you know, you're bad journalists if you don't check these out, or if you don't, you know, correct yourself to the public. And again, another PR strategy that I'd forgotten about is they use journalistic integrity as a trap. The concept of journalistic integrity, of a journalist not wanting to appear biased most of the time. You know, you write a story saying what you think is true, and then somebody comes up and says, well, here's the other side of that story. Here's our opinion. Well, obviously, the first goal of any PR person is to make their client look good. You know, make them look like the best, nicest, smartest, whatever, coolest, and do that through whatever means they can. But when they can't, when there is a high-level criticism directed at them, the next best thing is to muddy the waters. And that's exactly what was happening here. Clamor wrote all these critical allegations about American Apparel, which they say they stand by. They say even after American Apparel told them you got all these stuff wrong, they say, no, we researched it. We still think this is correct. But the PR person can muddy the water by putting in counterpoints, by saying, well, actually, here's what the real story is. Now, if you are a, quote, good journalist, you're going to feel bad about, gosh, you know, they say there's another side to the story. I guess I should tell the other side of the story, and the audience can decide themselves. Or you think, oh, no, if I don't tell their side of the story, they'll say I'm biased, and I'll lose credibility. So that's exactly what American Apparel was doing, is they were putting out... And, you know, when suddenly you have two versions of the story, you know, your audience might take it upon themselves to research it and figure it out and make up their own minds. Or they might not bother. I mean, really, how many folks out there care about the labor practices of American Apparel clothing company? Not a ton. I think your average Joe, if they were aware of this at all, would see two stories and say, well, I don't know which is right. And then, you know, mission accomplished for the PR people. So I think in that way, really, you know, you're trapped. Journalistic ethics, journalistic norms make you play right into the hands of public relations. And so the only real way there is to not fall into their trap is to ignore it. I mean, that was something that the clamor, it seemed to be, they were doing that for a while. They were not responding to the allegations of American Apparel. And I thought, you know, that's actually a pretty accurate and well, it's a pretty worthwhile means of dealing with it. But actually, since then, American Apparel has done Clamor has done the full thing. They posted the full text of the accusations against them by American Apparel with their full rebuttal. I didn't feel that American Apparel made a very good case looking at their stuff. I mean, some of it was just sort of trying to throw as many errors on there as they can, you know, try to make the make Clamor look sloppy and, oh, you know, like so that you could throw the whole story out. Oh, they're such terrible journalists. I can't believe it. For example, one of the errors, you know, some of them were legitimate. You know, oh, you said this about this lawsuit, but really it's this. And Clamor said, well, you're changing the terms of, you know, you're sort of muddying the waters again. We said, use these words, you're using a different set of words and trying to make it sound like we're wrong, but we're not. But my favorite was, they said something like, you said that this company was started, you know, that the president of the company was in school in 1992, but he was really in 1982. That was a typo. You want to sue us over a typo? Feel free. But, so just a few thoughts about public relations. Also, right now, there is a, I still need to read the full thing. There's a blog called Making Light. I'm now going to double-check the address for that. Makinglight.org, maybe? And, oh, that might not work. But they had a lot about public relations in a recent post on theirs. Apparently, somebody with the Making Light website... Ah, oh, hell. They managed to go to a conference in Australia about public relations and AstroTurf organizing. You know, AstroTurf is, of course, when a public relations company makes a fake organization. They make a fake activist group to spread their point of view and make it look as though they're actually concerned citizens. Okay, the Making Light blog is... Oh, gosh. NielsenHayden.com/MakingLight. Anyhow. It'll be hard to... I'd spell it for you, but I don't think you're going to actually look it up. Do a search for the words making light if you want to check this thing out. But, no, they had a full text of this crazy PR thing, and... it's worth looking into if, like me, you're a person who feels that PR is the devil and should be exposed at every opportunity. You know, and then of course, the other story. I was listening to the BBC News on our local NPR station. And the other morning, they were talking about Princess Kiko of Japan, and how she was just about to have a baby, and they thought the baby was going to be a boy, which meant that the boy might be next in line to be the emperor. And the reason this was relevant was because they were actually talking in Japan about changing the law so that women could take the throne. You could have an empress instead of an emperor. And now that they were going to have another male heir, that maybe that effort would get, that law change was maybe on the rocks. To which my only response was, wait, Japan has a monarchy? There's a royal family in Japan? I thought they gave up that emperor shit after World War II. I was surprised. Hell, Britain I think Spain, why do these countries still have royalty? I mean, these are families who are just very old aristocratic families that taxpayer dollars pay, Jose and Maria Q, taxpayer of Spain, are paying for these guys to live in luxury. You know, and same in Japan and the UK and wherever else they have these kings and queens in a parliamentary democracy. I was just really surprised by that. And, you know, do you really care then? If your figurehead ruler who your tax dollars go to, if it's a man or woman, I don't think I would. I think I'd want to see him pulled back down to earth. Get a job, Princess Kiko! But sadly, the one thing I did hear about in that story also, that the fellow that they think will become the next prime minister of Japan, they were talking about how socially conservative he is. And, for example, he has actually said in public that a woman's place is in the kitchen. So, fuck that guy. Which reminds me, a story with at least a little bit of similar undertones. In Pakistan, they have these awful laws about rape. That, one of which is, that if a woman claims that a man has raped her, she needs four witnesses to the rape before they can actually prosecute the person. And if she doesn't have that, then she gets accused of adultery, which is a crime there. Now, apparently they're talking about reforming these rape laws, and there are a number of members of Pakistani lawmakers who say that they will give up their seats in parliament if the rape law is reformed so that a woman needs fewer than four witnesses to her rape for her attacker to be tried, arrested, jailed. And the article, I read this at feministing.com, and they were saying what an awful thing this was, that these guys were saying they'd step down. I think it's a good thing. I think the law should be reformed. Those guys should step down, because you don't want guys like that in your government. You know, again, fuck those guys. Go, maybe they'll be replaced by somebody who's not as awful. Or by somebody worse, I suppose. So many possibilities. Okay, I've yammered on enough. I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastard Show. I'm now trying to figure out what I should play next. I've played the song a number of times. Artist named Amory, song called One Thing. I find it's one of her only good songs. But this is a version that has a little different remix with a little rap from a fellow named BG. But I received this as a gift from my uncle. He's a listener to the show. And last time I did the show, I played this song. He asked me about it. I told him a few things. And he went and he ordered it off of Amazon and sent it to me, the single with the remixes, to see if there'd be something good in addition to play. And there is, which I'll be clicking on play in a second. But thanks to him. My uncle's good people, y'all. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lang Media Bastards. I'll talk more about thingies later. And here's music.
When I do it like a treat. You got a man, but he can't do it like me. I do it like it's supposed to be me, like it's supposed to be done. You don't know where somebody they'll tell you I'm the one. I'm the fool of the fool, the coolest of the cool. Don't panic, lay back, just trust the dude. I'll take you places you ain't never been. Let you see things you ain't never seen. Buy you things that the boy won't buy. Got a bus, got a jet, we can drive, we can fly. However we do it, we gon' shine. When I kiss, I don't tell, my business is mine. Thank you. whip, let's ride for a minute. Let's chop it up, just vibe for a minute. You listen, I talk, you talk, I listen. Pretty, let me look in your eyes for a minute. They got a lot of lanes out here. They got a lot of busters, no game out here. Believe all men ain't the same out here. Jizzle, one of a kind, believe that there. You won't find another make you feel like me. You won't find another that's real like me. You won't find another that's built like me. I'm one of the last soldiers left in the street. Hotter than fish grease, smoother than silk sheet. Older than iced tea, call me the BG. Chop a city boy, keep it pimpin', no doubt. Come see how the rims keep spinning down south.
Like a giant retarded trust fund kid with nuclear weapons when you think about it, and we just go to other countries and ruin them, you know? We just like, this country's nice, could we have Disney World here? Well, this is Paris. Disney World! All right. Jesus, please don't blow us up. Okay. What's this place? Biblevania? Israel. I want a water slide!
Watching a master at work.
Stepping live in the place, smacking blood out his face. It's the principle, don't get it wrong. What I do to eat is nothing in comparison to what I do to keep self upright and exact. Spray the Mac if I have to defend the castle. Sling lasso, roping him till he recoup. Pass the keys to the coupe. It's cute for the wizards, it's scoot off. 95 North, cut from the cloth, a king who bears struggle. Endless lifeline, theology of time. Move when I made the motion to the mic to recite the dark that I had written. Life existed in the darkness, instant gratification. How far can you travel to Mike's bar?
Water is the softest substance in the world, but yet it can penetrate the hardest rock or anything, granite, you name it. Water also is insubstantial. By that I mean you cannot grasp hold of it. You cannot punch it and hurt it.
Yeah. See the godlike gleam so bright I gave birth to. That you attract to. Heart so fuller, make you wanna pull your trigger and get rid of. Shiny ball militant, head like Lou Gossett. He's walking with the shining lamp of knowledge. Glory be the Lord with the justice sword. Supreme being all I see. Radiant sun, imperishable absolute. Y'all salute. Approximately 3 mil, bodies like an empty vessels I must fill. Check where I came from. Any dark son or May son is my son. English C lesson number one for the dumb. If he ain't you a lemon, son, then I never heard of one. Back your gun, 101, come and get some.
Water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow, or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Yo. Yo, I thought the sign read, no colors allowed. Well, how then? Give me a few. Just listen. Instead of wasting time trying to grab them back, the dominant magnetic will always attract the unlike, causing him to strive to be. Now, Eminem, for example, just another sample of your worst nightmare coming back at you. So beautifully designed, the patience of time to see everything that has been always will be. Now, figure out the riddle, the never-ending cycle, born in itself, back into the circle. I'm thankful for the blessing, testing of the lessons. Answers and questions, trials and tribulations that were set upon me. It's hard for some to see, but it's clear as day to me.
Be water, my friend.
Just think of all the things that we could do to pass this time. Russian with a little makeup. You wanted to. I discussed the baby with the shake-up. You wanted to. Why'd you leave the kids up on the table? You wanted to.
Why don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide? I cry when angels deserve to die. Deserve to die.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. That just there was Mr. Liff doing Phantom off of the Emergency Rations EP. I just love that towards the end of that song. Well, first of all, that weird keyboard noise. I think that's... I imitated it badly, but no, I really dig the sound of it. And then just at the end, I just love that idea where it's like he has all these different voices of people who are saying, I Phantom, as though that is the way they feel. And I just sort of, that's the impression I get a lot of folks in the world today, in America today, probably in other countries as well, sort of go through this world feeling like they're moving like ghosts. They're not seen, they're not heard, they just do their thing, haunting their job, haunting their house, and such. So thought that was kind of powerful, all the voices of different people saying, I Phantom, as though that's what they feel like. For that, we had Lush doing Olympia, System of a Down doing, not War, we did Chop Suey. I typed the wrong song name on my playlist. Before that, The Rapture, new one by The Rapture, doing Pieces of the People We Love. Mastakilla doing Mastakilla. Clinic doing Animal Human. Wait, where did I start off this set? I don't remember where I started. I think I'm repeating myself now. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Since this is allegedly about the media and lying media bastardos, I suppose we should talk about the path to 9/11. You may have heard, if you keep any eye on the blogosphere, as they call it, ABC, the television channel owned by Disney, is going to air on September 10th and 11th a docudrama, which means a fictional movie based on real events, about September 11th, mostly about the years leading up to it, during the Clinton years and the George W. Bush years. Now, apparently, nobody knew too much about this documentary until, to promote it, ABC sent a lot of copies of it to right-wing bloggers and right-wing columnists. Not to any lefties, not to any liberals, not to the mainstream. And then the right-wingers began praising this film. Oh, it's a powerful film, and it shows the incompetence of the Bill Clinton administration. It was a great cause of September 11th. And apparently it shows Bush as a hero, and acts as though the Monica Lewinsky affair caused Clinton to not take any action against Osama bin Laden, and even apparently includes a fictional scene in which the CIA and the Northern Alliance of Afghanistan, you know, those warlords, they're surrounding Osama bin Laden's house in Afghanistan, and they want to rush in, but the White House won't give them approval, and they have to let him go. Apparently that never happened. I guess it makes for good television, but fictional is the word. So they're planning on airing this movie that you know reminds us all about terrorism and is wrong and hypes up the Bush administration as heroes and decries the Clintons as incompetents who bear blame for the September 11th attacks. And they're airing this shortly before the congressional elections that are coming up in, I think, like 60 days or something there. I forget how long till then. So, somehow the folks on the blogs figured out and started screaming about this, and then mainstream news is starting to pick it up, and a lot of folks are trying to pressure ABC into not airing the propaganda movie. And what's funny is that, you know, conservatives saying, oh, I can't believe the liberals, they say they want free speech, but then something like this comes along and, oh, they're a bunch of hypocrites, blah, 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 you know, the way that right-wingers often do. But they forget that in 2003, they did the exact same thing for a docudrama on, I believe, CBS about Ronald Reagan. They believed it showed him in a negative light. They screamed bloody fucking murder, and it was withdrawn and not aired. This upcoming one, The Path to 9/11, there was another aspect of it that apparently Scholastic which is the name of a company that does a book publisher, and they do a lot of academic stuff for schools, you know, like for young kids in schools. They were going to put together a study guide based upon this propaganda movie and air it, like, and offer it to the schools, the movie and the study guide stuff as a package. Now, apparently Scholastic has received a lot of pressure, and now they're saying they will not distribute that package, but in fact, they're instead going to replace it with materials about media literacy, which I think is really pretty genius, actually. It would be genius if they were sincere about it. I think this is just a PR spin. Oh, geez, everybody's attacking us. Let's get out from under this. A very useful way of getting out from under it. But, I think that's good stuff. And a lot of folks, I think it's much better to say, let's... Instead of saying, here, watch this and believe it, they're saying, you don't have to watch it, and here's some information about reminding you why you should think for yourself and be skeptical of the stuff that you see in here. So, that's some interesting stuff, I guess. And you probably, if you've heard any news since last week, you'll know that the, I guess 2 weeks ago, really, the Republicans began their re-election campaign for Congress by trying to scare everyone about terrorism. Mainly, they started off by trying to compare the opposition to the Iraq War to the appeasement of Nazi Germany in the 1930s, which eventually led to World War II. It's, of course, popularly conceived that if only Europe had not, when Hitler demanded parts of Czechoslovakia, the Sudetenland region of Czechoslovakia, was it Czechoslovakia? I think so. Then at that point in time, he said that we want this land, and the other leaders of Europe said, okay, you can have it if you stop your expansion there. Hitler said, oh yeah, of course. And the European leader said, yay, victory. And then, of course, Hitler invaded Poland and started taking over the whole of Europe. The popular conception is if only they had not have done the appeasement, if they'd said no, I don't know what. I guess the popular idea is that maybe World War II wouldn't have happened or something. I don't know. Germany was a pretty powerful force at the time. I mean, if they'd said no, he might have been able to take it by force anyway. So I really don't know if that appeasement metaphor is worth a damn, even though it gets used all the time. But that's what they're whipping out right now. Basically, they're trying to act as though Al-Qaeda is a threat. Al-Qaeda, which I believe even the largest estimates are that they have about 3,000 members. Trying to argue that the 3,000 members of Al-Qaeda are more powerful, or are so powerful, that if we don't reject them, if we don't stay in Iraq, that they will take over Europe. Al-Qaeda can't even take over Iraq. Like I said, there's a very small group of people. The German army was huge. I don't have any numbers with me. I wish I would've looked it up. Would have thought to look it up. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers, tanks, planes, the entire financing of an entire nation, an industrial complex turned towards their military effort, and a lot of hate. Of course, a lot of hate kept Germany going, but that's really more. That makes them more dangerous than Al-Qaeda could ever be in a million years. So, of course, and on top of that, I don't really see how Iraq is similar to... it's apples and oranges, as they say. You've got a war in Iraq, and you've got international terrorism, and Bush is saying that we'll be giving... We'll be appeasing the terrorist commie Nazis by withdrawing from Iraq, even though all we are doing in Iraq is, to steal someone else's phrase, as we're babysitting someone else's civil war. Yeah, so, I mean, so that's the first bit. That was the first fun thing we heard about terrorism. My favorite is Condoleezza Rice trying to do some race baiting, really, to try to whip people up. She did an interview with Essence magazine, which is primarily geared towards African-American women. And in the interview, she said that the people who wanted to withdraw from Iraq were kind of like the people in the Civil War who thought that they should withdraw from the South and let slavery continue to exist. So of course, all of us who are opposed to the invasion and occupation of Iraq, according to the Bush administration, we are pro-terrorist, we are pro-Nazi, and we're pro-slavery. So, just so you know where you stand. But yeah, things going badly in Iraq. The worst news I've heard is that there's a fella who was sort of a well-esteemed Iraqi cleric, a Shia cleric, named Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. And he was this great force of restraint. The Iraqis would get very angry at things that the Americans had done or that their Sunni opponents had done. They would want to lash out and attack, and Sistani would tell them to calm down, to not be violent. If it wasn't for his influence and the work of his followers, Iraq wouldn't even have the small amount of democracy that it does now. The Bush administration really just wanted to appoint a new government and have everybody just obey. But they pushed for a representative. And actually, they also, I think the Bush administration, when pushed, they wanted to do this bizarre caucus system where different provinces would get certain numbers of votes to nominate people for conventions. And Sistani was saying, no, we want a direct election, direct representative thing. And his pressure let that happen. And now, Sistani is saying that people aren't listening to him. He's saying that the Shia of Iraq no longer listen to his words of caution and calm and restraint. They're much more attracted to the retaliation, revenge, dignity sort of message of Muqtada al-Sadr, who is obviously a much more militant figure. Al-Sistani now is saying that he will no longer deal with politics. He will only answer theological questions. So he's withdrawing from that arena altogether because his influence is apparently gone. So that looks bad. That the it's sort of Shia unleashed, and I don't know what's going to happen. As if the current mutual ethnic cleansing wasn't bad enough with Shia killing Sunni and Sunni killing Shia. Now I do want to mention as well. George W. Bush gave a speech about terrorism yesterday. I haven't had a chance to look it over much. I was pleased that while he wanted this to be a speech, obviously, about the great strides the American country, people, homeland, whatever, have made in defeating terrorism and justifying all of his policies, the headline on every paper was Bush acknowledges secret CIA prisons. Which he did mention in the story, in his speech. He kind of wanted to play it down as though, yeah, we were using those, but now we're taking these guys out of there and taking them to Guantanamo. I don't know if that's much of an improvement, but sort of like to show everybody, hey, look, everybody, we're playing by the rules now. We're gonna, you know, these guys got human rights and access to courts and whatever. And I'm sure it was entirely political. To sort of try to take that issue away from Democrats in the upcoming congressional elections. But no, that's not what people are focusing on. The media is focusing on the secret prison thing. Juan Cole is a blogger. He's a professor, blogger, researcher, journalist, so type. And he has his own blog, juancole.com, called Informed Comment, where he talks an awful lot about Middle Eastern issues, politics, etc. Smart fella. He's obviously, I don't agree with him on everything, but he's obviously very well educated and explains himself well why he's come to the conclusions he has. And but he quotes this bit. He talks about how he cannot trust the president anymore because he just lies. And he talks about the speech on Wednesday. He quotes this part of the Bush speech where he says, This is Bush talking. This is Juan Cole pointing to this Bush quote. Within months of September the 11th, 2001, we captured a man known as Abu Zubaydah. We believe that Zubaydah was a senior terrorist leader and a trusted associate of Osama bin Laden. Our intelligence community believes he had run a terrorist camp in Afghanistan where some of the 9/11 hijackers trained, that he helped smuggle al-Qaeda leaders out of Afghanistan after coalition forces arrived to liberate the country. Zubaydah was severely wounded during the firefight, and that brought him into custody. And he survived only because of the medical care arranged by the CIA. So this is supposed to show that, you know, the strides the United States has made in capturing terrorists and our goodness and kindness because we took this guy who'd been injured and got him hospital care through the CIA. Juan Cole has done his research, and he says that actually Abu Zubaydah was not a terrorist trainer. He was like a low-level travel agent for the families of al-Qaeda operatives. So yes, he does appear to have been associated with al-Qaeda, so good thing he was captured. But he wasn't the grand mastermind. He was buying plane tickets for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? Like buying plane tickets for his kids. That was his role in al-Qaeda. Now, much worse than that, he appears to have had multiple personality disorder. You can't really be the master planner if you have multiple personality disorder. They say that in his journal there were three distinct personae writing in his journal. One was a young man, one was a boy, one was a middle-aged man. Writing in the journal. So this guy was insane. And not insane in the way we usually attribute to terrorists, that they are unrational killers. This guy was really crazy. He thought he was three different people. This is the guy. This is the high-level terrorist mastermind. The insane travel agent of al-Qaeda. So Bush mentioned this very, very prominently in his speech as a major victory. So people who are generally sort of liberal Democrats, I guess that's how I'd characterize Juan Cole's politics. Although I don't, that's just my assessment made in a moment. So he's not saying that. Let's be reasonable. Let's listen to what the president have to say. He's lost all of my trust. Because of stuff like that. There's that one quick little bit. A little bit more about media. The magazine Vanity Fair. This is very funny. Their latest issue has a fake cover. There's a cover on there that you can sort of attach to the cover of what you've got. Which is a mock-up of the neoconservative magazine The Weekly Standard. That's what it looks like. So if you put this over the front of your magazine, it'll look like you have a folded and half copy of the Weekly Standard. But it has all sorts of headlines on it that would not appeal to neoconservatives. For example, the main headline is, "Okay, fine, we admit it. The Iraq War was a mistake, and George W. Bush is so stupid he scares even us. Plus William Kristol on being deluded for 6 years. Britt Hume on 50 things that Michael Moore was right about. Charles Krauthammer on why he wants a do-over on everything, starting with the 2000 election. And Fred Barnes on the joys of not wearing pants." And there's a little banner at the top that says, "I haven't been funny since 1977, says P.J. O'Rourke." Which is funny, because he hasn't been. Anyhow. So, there's a bunch of that. Oh, and I should mention, I wrote something on my site earlier this week about what I thought was overkill in coverage of the death of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, and people screamed at me. My friend Jeremy said, "There's some people you just can't talk shit about, and apparently one of them is Steve Irwin." So, I still think you got too much news coverage just because the death of anybody shouldn't get that much. Or, you know, it's one of those things. There's only so much news, only so much space in a newspaper you can devote to any topics. So every time you put in the death of one individual, That means you have to skip out on other topics. And while he seemed like a nice fella, and I've been educated since that he spent lots and lots of time working on wildlife preserves, still, I feel like they were going 24/7 coverage of him for a number of days, and that was too much. And apparently many people are going to disagree with me on that one quite forcefully. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. A little bit more music, and then I gotta get out of here. Thanks for listening. This here is going to be our pal Damian Marley, a.k.a. Junior Gong, with a song called Move, which actually features a quite large sample from his father's Bob Marley song, Exodus, but it actually works pretty well. So listen to that. I'll throw on some other stuff, maybe some more of that Radiohead mashup thing, and blah, blah, blah. Thanks for listening. My website's lyingmediabastards.com. If you want to send me an email, write to jake@lyingmediabastards.com.
The queen and set the pawn and start on some like Decepticon. Anytime delegates have a discrepance, we'll have your tension with some long weapons. Night vision upon the attack mission. Coalition of politicians get switched on. If you look in the face of the newly born of face malnutrition. Suspicion to what is the ambition. Total destruction start the ignition. And the world still a fight over religion. Everyone have a right to a decision. Superstition the people reflect upon. Something not right, I'm a suspect. I can't have them lost in the darkness beyond. And none shall escape. Except the ones who Exodus with no question. Better put on your khaki uniform. You a driver, leave no engine on. If you a rider, jump on a unicorn. Lace your shoes if you's a pedestrian. Run for the border like a Mexican. On the arms smell green like a leprechaun. Survival of your people.
Exodus.
Road, so you drive with care. Fire came bus cause you got no spare. Holy palos in your atmosphere. Step on the gas and you start your gear. This Rastafari you do not dare. Some don't share and then that's not fair. Make a move before they make a move on you. Making moves and still move and go through. Moving things where you're not supposed to move. Watch a move and where you're moving to. Who you move with, you move with your crew. Move some food from up off the avenue. Move up town and boost your revenue. Move up town and overlook the view. Move around and get from one to two. Make a wrong move. Move in the kid to lose. I stand up and I refuse to move. Substance from a normal naga use. Metric measurement me naga choose. Moving on and still you need a cruise. Jack keys are the only keys my move. Moving on in Lord
Exodus.
No, sir.
your batteries. I rotate those with acmiculous precision. Illumination, you relate to 2020 vision. I crush your coronary, pulverize your pulmonary, combat your commentary, test your testimony. Demolition is an everyday delight. My syntax is intact to wax your megabytes. Talk technician with a terrible tongue. One attempted imitation makes a tear in your lung. You make a move for your burner, but I'm already out. You're making claims on your name, but the majority doubts. My cerebellum is harder than aluminum pipe. My rap definition is a beautiful sight. I'm in depth when I inject or relax your index. My reflex will rehash or regret the relapse. My math is maniacal speech, trying to beach this presidential prodigy who led a central odyssey. I rock pivoting, block your proximity. Oral activity strains your brain cavity. Calamity comes, I leave academies numb. Battle me crumb, you'd rather become a fan of be done. To drop strategy bombs to remedy bumps. Spray typical with atypical. I slay digital back doors to play the back door. My flow back door cracks your protractor. Attack my rap, adapt to the collapse and fracture. Henchman actor, that's an injection of rap.
It is an injection. Rap infection.
Some beat bombs, we need arms. These motherfuckers gotta feel harm. Siren, caution, warning. Enter slowly, I'm driven by rage and nothing can control me. Inhibitions try to hold me and get snapped. So reroute, break the fuck out.
Step back.
E, get the map. The club will serve as a trap. I'ma drop some shit to which they'll never adapt. Lyrical projectiles will get wild. Pull up the truck where dead rappers will get piled. I walk in slowly, calm as the breeze. Grimy and moldy, armed to the teeth. Let's see. We had the place case each. We'll want the record and pump up the bass. Farewell to them niggas on the stairwell. Here's hell. Whoever remains there is well and clean heart. This is proof that the tune got into their system and seven and split them. Mob up the blood then call them a victim. They couldn't dodge the murderous rhythm. After one jam, no enemy or fan can stand. Operation completed as planned. Flawless execution without question. Those motherfuckers learn their lesson. Rap perfection.
This has been another edition of the Lying Media Bastards radio show. Last song was Shiva by Smashing Pumpkins. Before that, DJ Panzazandas doing Rap Perfection with E. Don and Mr. Liff. And I can't tell what I had before that. I didn't write it down. Let's see. Sabretooth Tiger and Damian Marley and Mr. Liff were in there somewhere. I am disorganized. Anyhow, thanks for listening. If you want to catch reruns of this, actually we replay the show Monday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. So just wait a few days and it's there. Or hop on the interweb and get it off my site, lyingmediabastards.com. And you can see what everybody's telling me I'm a big jerk for dissing Steve Irwin in the mild way that I did. Anyhow, I'll see y'all, guess not next week. Next week I have to be in Los Angeles doing additional radio stuff. So catch y'all later in the month. Thanks for listening.